Hey, I hope each of you guys brought a Bible. If you didn't, that's okay. And if you don't have one, here's the thing. We want you to have one. And so we will make one of these Bibles yours. If you still need one, you can raise your hand. Pastor Keith will bring you an extra Bible if you need it. Okay, but tonight, what I want you to do is I want you to open up to the book of Ephesians. Okay, if you've got the outline, it says Ephesians on it, so that's perfect. Tonight, you know, we're launching our new Lift middle school ministry here on Wednesday night. And so we're going to be talking over the next 3 weeks about these three things at the bottom, okay? Equip, engage, and expand. And what does that mean as a Christian, you know, or as maybe even an unbeliever? What are we talking about with this whole equip, engage, and expand? So tonight, we're going to cover equip. Okay, what does it mean to equip someone or something? You put your mind to it. You prepare, okay? You do what?
Put them on you.
You put them on you. What?
No.
Not Q-tip, okay? Equip. A knight equips armor. Yeah, okay. Kind of, okay. You have equipment, right? Equipment would be what? Helmet, okay. Accessories.
Headband,
shoes, somebody said, okay. Equipment, it's things that you need to be successful at doing something, right? So if we were going to, if you were going to school tomorrow, what kind of equipment would you need to go to school tomorrow?
Pencil.
If you go with nothing, you're probably going to get sent home, okay, because clothes are important, okay? You have to bring things with you to be successful at doing things, okay? You need paper. You need pens. You may need to bring a calculator or a backpack or, you know, a purse or something. There are different things you need to be successful, okay? Megan, you're on the cheer squad, right? Yeah. Okay, what kind of equipment do you use?
Shoes.
Okay. All right. So is that all? Okay. Pom-poms. Like, there's different things that you need to be successful at doing different things. Okay. Any hunters? Anybody hunt? Yeah. Okay. What kind of things do you need to go hunting? Deer hunting, let's say. A gun, knives. What? Corn bag?
You can have a spear and throw it.
Deers? Yeah, you need deer, but you can't really equip those. Once you have a deer, it's like, all right, mission accomplished. All right, we're successful. This is great. Well, I want you to think about maybe a situation you've been in where you have felt unequipped. Every day of my life, right? It's called graduation, right? Like, you get there and you're like, man, I hope I'm equipped because now, you know, launching out into the world, okay? Think about, anybody ever done a spelling bee before? Okay? I did a spelling bee growing up, and I used to watch, like, the guys that were really good at it on TV and stuff, and the Scripps National Spelling Bee, okay? These people are spelling things that I've never even used in a conversation before, right? And probably never will. But what do? They get a list of all these words, and they learn all these different words and where they've come from and their origin and how it can be used and all these things. They learn these words so that they can go into that competition and have a chance. If you ever watch one of those things, it's like, man, I could not just walk up on that stage and they go, spell, blah, 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 blah. Yes. And I'd be like,
oh,
I don't know, Australia or something, I don't know. Like, I would be totally unequipped to be successful in that situation, right? I would not do well. Same thing if I went and wanted to play Major League Baseball, okay? If I wanted to go and play baseball, man, those pitchers, they're throwing that ball at like 95 miles an hour, and it's like, phew, oh, there it went. Like, that was it, all right? It is fast. And if you do not practice and you don't have the right, I mean, you need your gloves and you need a bat and you've got to have cleats on and all this stuff. Like, you need to go into that situation equipped to be successful. Because if you go out there with shin guards on like you're going to play soccer, it's not going to work the same way. You're going to be like, well, I'm not going to hit it with my ankle. You know, like, this isn't how it works. You have to have the right equipment. You need to practice and go through a situation and learn how it works to be good at it. You don't just step out on the baseball field and suddenly, boom, I'm amazing. I can throw it all the way from the fence. I can hit it out of the park. I am like, you don't do that and just step onto a Major League Baseball field and suddenly you're successful. Okay, there's a lot of practice that all of those guys do to get to that point. If you wanted to be, you know, if you want to go in and cheer, I know Megan's cousin Colt is in like the national cheerleading competition, something or other in Orlando. He is legit. Okay, he goes to all these different camps and practices and things, and yeah, he's a male cheerleader, you guys, and he's awesome at it. Okay. He also plays football, so you got to watch out, okay, because he'll run you over. And so, like, but he'll truck you, okay? Like, it's bad, okay? Like, he will take care of you on the football field, and then he'll go and cheer his team on. Like, he's this awesome guy. But he didn't just decide one day, I think now I'm going to do cheerleading and boom, I'm like national champion, awesome. No, there was a lot of practice that went into that. There was a lot of his coach helping him out to learn different things and him coordinating with others and learning how to do these different moves or different stunts and things like that. You know, if you ever go into a situation where you're unequipped, you look back and you say, man, I really wish that I had taken some time, looked this over, that I had actually prepared myself, because now I'm in it and I've got to figure out what to do. Well, part of the thing that we want to do here at Lyft is we want you to go through an equipping type of engagement, okay? We want this to be a time where we are equipping you for life as a believer. Going through life is difficult, and you don't just suddenly know, boom, I am a perfect Christian. Because you know what? None of us are, okay? But we can grow and become more and more like Christ. We can be equipped to face what the world has to throw at us by equipping ourselves with God's word and with wisdom, like we had talked about. Remember when we talked about Proverbs, we talked about wisdom a lot. So this is giving you the wisdom you need to go through life and to be successful. So we're going to talk about here in Ephesians. We're also going to look at the book of Acts. Okay, anybody heard of the book of Acts that you can tell me like kind of what it's about a little bit? Anybody? Ben? What is it? Yeah, okay, so for instance, Jesus comes, he lives on the earth, he dies on the cross, he raises from the dead, okay? He's seen by his disciples, then he rises up, goes to heaven, he ascends, okay? And then the apostles are here on earth to do this ministry that Jesus has prepared them for. He had lived his life and had a ministry of preparing these apostles and equipping them to be able to start the church, okay, worldwide. And so Jesus had spent a lot of time equipping these guys and helping them to understand who God is and how they are to live in life. And then he says, now you get to go and you get to do it. And so he ascends into heaven. The Holy Spirit comes on a special day called Pentecost. Everybody say Pentecost. Okay, Pentecost. So it was a day like 50 days after Passover with a special festival. And these guys, there were tons of people in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit comes and works through the apostles to preach, okay? And an amazing thing happens. Peter goes and he gives a message to these Jews who are there, and like 3,000 people get saved. That's a lot of people, right? That's a lot of people. What if like we went to like the South versus West game and there were so many people there, and then I get out there with a bullhorn or something and tell them like, hey, Jesus is the answer. You guys killed him, but he's awesome. He rose from the dead. He's the one that you need in your life. And then like 3,000 people got saved, okay? That would be really insane and crazy. Well, all these people get saved, and then it's like, okay, now we're believing in Jesus Christ. We are trusting him with our life. What do we do? What do we do? So I want to read out of the book of Acts for just one verse, and then we're going to hop over here to Ephesians, where it's going to kind of work that out a little bit more. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, it says this. And they, this is the believers, okay? And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Interesting. So they have this amazing event where so many people trust in Christ with their life, and then they devote themselves to these different things. It says that they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship and breaking bread, and a prayer. Now, what would the apostles' teaching be? Anybody got an idea? Right, okay. So the people who were following Jesus for all this time, it was their teachings. So they were telling the people what Jesus had told them. In other words, they were saying, Jesus has equipped us. Now we're going to equip you. Okay, these believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. What is fellowship? Anybody know? A friend?
Yeah.
Kind of. Okay. Talking to people? Kind of. What kind of talking to people? Right. Okay. Talking with people about the important things in life, and specifically among believers usually, right? A fellowship of people are people that are getting together, they're spending time, they're getting to know each other, they're talking about things that are important, serving, right? We had some awesome time of fellowship after Hurricane Matthew came through, right? I know that me and a bunch of the staff guys, we went around with chainsaws and stuff. I hardly even got to touch a chainsaw. This guy, he was like tearing up trees left and right. You want to talk about like picking up trees? We did, okay? Like, we cut them into pieces. We picked them up and hauled them all over the place. Dozens of these things, all over. And it was one of these things where we were doing a job, but we were also doing it as a body of believers together with a common purpose. And we were getting to just encourage each other, getting to talk about things of God and what he's doing in our life and opportunities that we've had. And getting to reach out, it was cool because it was, if you remember, right when Kids Fest was supposed to be. And so we were partnering up with Roundo Baptist Church. And so we got to talk with those guys and ladies and get to know each other. And so we had fellowship between churches even. That was awesome. It was a great time. And so these believers, they devoted themselves to that kind of relational living, between each other. And then it says, to the breaking of bread. Now, this is interesting, okay? When you think of the literal words, breaking of bread, you think of me taking a loaf of bread and going, ksh, or something like that. And, you know, you're like, Pastor Scott, that's really not a cool, like, strength or ability or cool. Like, some guys can tear apart telephone books. It's not cool to be able to, like, break bread. That's a lame thing, all right? But these guys, they broke bread. And what does it mean to break bread within understanding the New Testament? Well, Jesus had set it as a sign for them. He said, whenever you do this, the breaking of bread that he was showing them, do it in remembrance of me. See, he gave them a sign of how his body would be broken and given for them. And so they would get together, they'd be having these fellowships, they'd be learning things of the apostles, they'd have a breaking of bread that would remind them of what Christ had done for them. That Jesus Christ had died on the cross. That his body was broken like that bread and then given on behalf of each of these people. And they would take that piece of bread and they would eat it, and it would be a reminder. And what do we call this now? Communion, right? The Lord's Supper. Some people call it the Eucharist, which kind of has a certain connotation, but it's a symbol, and we usually have the cup of grape juice or wine, right, that symbolizes what? The blood, right? His blood, which was shed for us. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission or forgiveness or payment for sin. And so Jesus was that payment, and so that was a visible way for them to remember that. And then it says, and the prayer. They devoted themselves. They made a commitment to prayer. Why is prayer important? Yeah. Yeah, it's an opportunity for us to be able to connect, okay, to be able to reach out and say, God, here's what's going on in my life, and here are things that are so important to me, and I want to be within what you want me to be doing, and to seek him out, and to have that relationship with him. And so prayer is an important part of that. They devote themselves to it. Now, if you're in Ephesians 4, okay, in the book, this is, it was a letter written by Paul, okay? He had an amazing encounter with Jesus, and Paul writes this letter after he becomes a believer, a Christian, and he writes this letter to other believers in a church in a city called Ephesus. So the people there were called Ephesians. So that's where the name of the book comes from. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Look at that. It says, and he, now who is the he there? Okay, it's Jesus, okay? And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and to mature manhood, okay? Manhood there, don't be confused that it's only talking about men, okay? It's talking about maturity there. And so our first point on your outline is God equips pastors to equip the church, okay? He equips these leaders within the church to equip the church. So he sets leaders up to be able to come and share with the church members, okay, because we're not saying a church is a building with a steeple on top or something, but rather it's a body of believers who are committed to the same things and the same mission. And so these pastors, these leaders, it says evangelists, okay, these teachers are there to equip believers with the understanding, with the knowledge, with the information that they need to be successful in life, to know what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so over the last 2,000 years from when Jesus was here walking on the earth teaching his disciples until now, that teaching has been shared down the line over and over, over and over again until we get to here. And we luckily, I mean, amazing, we have written down versions. We have special colleges that you can go to where you can learn about these things, where people who have studied it for years and learned from others before them have taught them what God's word means, how it applies to our life. What is truth? You guys, I don't know if you keep up with the word of the year. Okay, this last year it was an emoji. Do you know that? Like, it was an emoji this last year, which is kind of funny that, yeah, it's not, right? But it kind of shows about our culture, how it's moving to this completely visual idea. But the year before, the word of the year that was chosen was post-truth. Post-truth. And it's this idea that, not necessarily that it's after truth, but that truth can be relative, that truth can, what's true for you isn't necessarily true for me, and that I can be right and you can be right and our ideas can be totally opposite of each other and saying that the other one is wrong, but we're both right. And that doesn't make sense, does it? And so our whole world is seeking for what is true, but they also don't want to understand that, you know, you may be wrong. I may be wrong. To seek out truth means that there is an absolute, okay? If you want to find out if you're standing on a pool, it'll show itself, won't it? Like, you'll know because there's only two guys who I have ever heard of who walked on water, right? Two guys, Jesus, Peter. That's the list, okay? Very exclusive club. And those two guys are the only ones. If you try and find out, am I standing on a pool? Well, there's truth, and it's going to show itself. You don't have to seek it out very difficult or, with a lot of effort. It shows itself. But a lot of times the truth we have to seek out is more difficult. And so God equips leaders to equip the church to know these things and to know how to be successful in life. Remember the whole idea of the baseball player going out there with shin guards or something like that. Man, if he had a coach that said, hey, shin guards are not going to help you out. This is not soccer. This is baseball. Here, take a bat. Take gloves. They're important. They will help you to be successful. Okay, that's kind of the role of these leaders that God has equipped to be able to lead the churches. They say, hey, you need to know what it is to be godly. You need to know how to live in a way that you're a light to the world. And here's what God says about it. And so there are these leaders in the church that God has given us for two primary things, right? Okay, one is we're equipped with instruction and we're equipped with knowledge, okay? Anybody learned the scientific equation of E equals MC squared? Okay. Now, somebody tell me how that applies in life. All right. Here's the difference. Okay. Here's the difference between it. Knowledge is one thing. I know that E equals MC squared. I don't know what C is or why that is important in our learning of things, okay? And I know some of you guys know that, but if we go, okay, now how do we apply that? What does it mean for our life? How can I use this, okay? That was my thing always in school, is that I wanted to know, is this a skill that I will actually use sometime later in life? Because if it's not, I don't really care, right? Anybody else out there like that? That's like, I do, if this is not going to be important to me, I don't care, okay? Let me help you out. Some things are really cool. Like, I found out that geometry is really helpful as a student pastor, right? Because when we say, hey, we want to make these stages shorter, we want to learn how to, you know, cut this thing, and we made these dividers and stuff like that, and we had to equal, you know, these different distances and make things the same. And man, some of that math really helped, okay? So let me encourage you. Geometry, if you want to be a student pastor, definitely super helpful, okay? Now, chemistry is sometimes cool. Like, if you were here the first time that I came and I blew up the salt bowl and the sugar bowl and the salt was fine, okay? That was a cool chemistry thing. It found out, hey, heat, very neat, right? Like creme brulee, I love this stuff, okay? Culinary school, that's cool also. But some things are important to me because I don't know how it applies. Here's the thing. We can look at God's word in a similar fashion. We can say, yes, I understand these words on the page. I see how they go together. I can read, Scott, but I don't know what it means for my life. There's a difference here. There's knowledge, but there also has to be instruction. There has to be applying it and saying, here's what it means, and here's what it means for you and to the world. It's important. And so God has equipped these leaders in our lives to be able to instruct us, to give us knowledge, and ultimately to equip us with God's word to be able to make it through life and do it with the purpose that God has in mind for us. So we kind of looked at this, right? We continually devote ourselves to teaching God has placed in our life through what? Okay? Consistency. This is difficult right here, right off the bat. Consistency. Day by day. Continual. A constant thing. Okay? One of my goals last year, right? You got New Year resolutions. Anybody else do New Year resolutions? You're like, New Year, new me, that kind of thing. All right. So one of my things last year was that I wanted to drink like 32 ounces of just water every day, okay? Which doesn't seem like a whole lot. But when you drink mostly like coffee and Coca-Cola, like it's difficult to just drink water and be good with that. So it was great. I got started off the year and did it for like 2 weeks. And then it was like 3 days without drinking but like 8 ounces of water. And then, you know, oh, I forgot this week. Oh, I should have gotten that when I went out to lunch here. And it just like fell off a cliff, right? Like, whew, to like negative water probably, okay? So here's the thing. That consistency, when you're excited about it and you've got that goal and you're doing well, yes, this is awesome, okay? Imagine like when you go to a camp or to a retreat or something like that. Man, it can be easy when there's a scheduled time every day for you to read your Bible, for you to go in and listen to a pastor teach. But it's a lot more difficult when school is taking up 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours of your day, and then homework, and then a sport team, and then you want to, you know, play a game, hang out with friends. Man, your day's full. It's hard to be consistent in that. But for us to be, if we're going to say we're continually devoted, there has to be consistency there. We have to be committed. We can't just, you know, say, I'm going to read my Bible when I want to or when it's convenient for me. I was listening to a guy recently talking about becoming an expert, okay? Anybody want to be, like, really good at something, right? Like, you don't just want to be, your whole life. You're like, there's something out there. Maybe I know it, maybe I don't, but I want to be really good at something one day, right? Like, maybe I want to be famous, maybe not, but I want to be really good at something one day. And there was this guy who was talking about, if you want to be really good at something, you have to apply yourself to it for approximately 10,000 hours before you become an expert in that thing. 10,000 hours, you guys. Like, if you spent, that's a lot of time. That's a lot of time, right? And we want, I want to be really good at some things. There's some things that I want to be really good at. I see these guitar players who are just amazing, and I'm like, man, that guy is an expert. Well, if I imagine that he spent 10,000 hours on that thing, that's like 20 hours every week for 20 years. 10 years, sorry. 10 years. Still, 20 hours every single week. Imagine almost 3 hours every day until you, like, are 20 years old, 23, 24 years old, you are doing that one thing. That's what it takes to be an expert at something. Now, here's the thing. If we want to become good at understanding what God has for our life, I'm not saying you gotta spend 3 hours every day, but we gotta spend some time, right? We gotta spend some time, more than just some time on Wednesday night, some time on Sunday night. That's important. That's an easy way to schedule it in for the week. But you also gotta set a time when you can say, all right, I'm going to devote myself to the teaching. I'm going to devote myself to remembering what Christ has done, like the breaking of bread. I'm going to devote myself to having time in fellowship with fellow believers. And I'm going to have special time set for prayer. There's got to be consistency in our lives if we want to become equipped and able to live the way that God wants us to. The second thing is focus. Focus. It's difficult, right? Recently, you may have noticed, because it may have not been the best, but in the large service on Sunday mornings for our worship service, I've had a couple of opportunities to run a camera in there, okay? Kind of interesting. Well, there are different ways to be able to, like, use the lens on it so if someone's far away, you can bring them into focus, right? And if you don't set that the correct way, it's all blurry. Yes?
Yeah.
Well, if we don't, you know, if we're consistent in our time but we're not focused on what we're doing, it'll just become a blur. I could give you a number right now, okay? 398196, all right? Now, some of you guys just focus because you were paying attention, and maybe in a little while, if you can remember what that number was, you'll get something awesome. But, I mean, focus. Focus is paying attention, being, whew, okay, if you've got a light and it's shining, that's great. But if you've got a laser, it is focused. It is precise. You can hit something miles away with a laser that's bright enough, and you can't do that with, like, a flashlight or something. I mean, it's different. It's not focused, okay? You can't do the same kind of thing if the light is not focused. And so with our study, it's great to be consistent, but if your time of prayer, the whole time you're praying, your brain is just like, I'm hungry, I kind of need to go to the bathroom, I wonder what they're doing on Instagram, oh, I forgot to check my Snapchat in the last 8 minutes. And you've got like 30 different things going on in your brain, you're not going to be focused. You're going to be all over the place, okay? These guys were continually devoting themselves. They were focused. We have this thing called technoference. Anybody heard of that before? Technoference? It's not like a band with like disco music or something, okay? Technology. It interferes with our life, with our social interactions with each other. We have things where, you, out of compulsion, you desire to pull your phone out and look at what time it is, put it back into your pocket, have instantly forgotten what time it was, pull it right back out. Everybody knows what I'm talking about if you have one, right? Okay? That's how it works. We're not focused. We don't pay attention. If you want to grow in your walk with Christ, you've got to pay attention to him. You've got to make the most of the times that you're in here and the times that you get where you're reading your Bible or talking with another believer about Christ. The third thing is, and this is a difficult one as well, obedience. Obedience. See, it's great to have the knowledge of these things, understand how to apply it. You've paid attention, you're focused, but if you don't actually obey it, it's useless. Anybody remember what that number was?
398196.
Okay, Isaac knows it. Who else? All right, you three got it. That's what I heard. Sorry. All right. Anybody know what that is?
It's an area code for the area.
It's six digits. Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Six digits.
No.
Okay. So when I was in high school, I was in an organization called Civil Air Patrol. Okay. Trey Ann is in it. Graham Hux is in it. Anyway, so I was in this organization. Well, that was my Civil Air Patrol ID number. Okay. Now, you can do some things with that, which are neat. But if you have no clue what that is, it doesn't do you any good. You're like, it could be his phone number. No, that's not it. Maybe it's his license plate. I don't know. It could be his driver's license. There's like thousands of things that that number combination could end up being, but it has a specific purpose. It has a specific way to apply it and use that number. It's important, okay? But you have to pay attention. You have to. If you forget what that number, if you don't bring that number up in a while, you're going to forget it, right? If it's not important to you, if you don't make it important, if you don't review it, if you don't go over it, you'll end up forgetting these things, you guys. So we have to obey what God's word actually says and apply it to our lives. James, in his book, he writes something really interesting I want to share with you. He says in chapter 1, he says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." And then he gives an analogy. It's kind of like that iPhone, pulling it out, looking at the time, putting it away, and not even remembering what it was. He gives like that version of it for 2,000 years ago. He says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, he goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the law of liberty," okay, God's word, "and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." God says, if you hear and you apply and you obey what his word says, you're going to be blessed for it. You're going to have a life that is, it's going to keep you out of a lot of trouble. It's going to be beneficial. God doesn't write this stuff to hinder us from good things. He's the author of good things. He made it all up. He created all the good things. The Bible says so. And so if we become doers of what his word is, we obey him, we're going to have an awesome blessing. So I want you guys to think about, and maybe we'll be able to discuss here in a minute, who are people in your life that are equipping you for life, are training you are getting you ready? And is there anybody that you can be doing that for? Because believe it or not, recognize it or not, let me help you understand something. There are a bunch of people who look up to you guys already. There are people who look up to you. If you do something, they think it's great to do it also. And that can be an awesome thing, or it can be a terrible thing. Spider-Man, right? With great power comes great responsibility, okay? No, it's Spider-Man, bro. Okay? But you guys have an intrinsic power within your age, within your maturity, within your life experience that you can share with others and help encourage them. And as, you know, our name is, lift them up. You can be part of that. You are able to lead others to Christ in Christ. So I want you to think about this week. You know, you've got your journey group questions in your pamphlet, okay, your bulletin. You can look at that. Think about it, but also think about who are these people that are putting into my life that are equipping me, but also who can I be equipping? And guys, if, you know, they never make someone a baseball coach to equip players who doesn't know anything about baseball, right? Because the guy that, you know, played badminton, anybody ever done that in the backyard? Badminton, it's like tennis with a little thing with feathers on it, okay? You play that, well, yeah, you're still swinging a thing. Yeah, but it's very different, right? You've got to learn the right equipment for life and then be able to share that with others and be able to encourage them as well. And I want to encourage you to go to some of these leaders in your life that are empowering you and training you and just thank them. A lot of people don't get thanked. They work really hard to pour into you. And maybe that's a parent, maybe it's a teacher, maybe it's a journey group leader, maybe it's an older sibling, whoever it is. Maybe you could just spend some time this week and say, hey, so-and-so, I really appreciate the way you're helping me be equipped for life. That would blow someone's doors off of, like, their life. They would just be amazed that someone came up and said, wow, they actually see that I'm trying to help them out in life. You can be an encouragement in that way, all right? So as we close, we're going to pray. We've got one other game that you guys are going to be able to still compete for that Chick-fil-A and Starbucks gift card. So if you're excited about that, that's good, okay? But remember that this week, okay? Don't let that student guide just be a piece of paper that you leave and you remember on Wednesday, or you even forget on Wednesday, all right? Use it this week. Go through those questions and see how this can apply to your life, and then come back on Sunday, and we're going to talk about those things, all right? Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Let's pray, and then hang out for about 30 seconds, and we'll play a game. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the leaders in our lives who have poured into us, and so now, as we see these things that we need to do, we need to be consistent in following after you. We need to be focused when we're doing that, and we need to actually obey what it is that we hear. God, help us to do that. Help us to drown out the other things, to make you a priority, to listen to what it is that you're teaching us through others. And then help us go out into the world and actually use that equipment that we've been given of your word to know how to live rightly and to do it for your glory, God. We thank you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name.